Hello there, precious child of God. You're welcome to the Sydney Olomensa podcast. Today, the man of God takes us through a series titled The Bait of Satan. And this is part one. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Hallelujah. Amen. I welcome you tonight once again to our believer's service. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. And those that are joining us online, we want to welcome you as well. From wherever you are joining us, we say God bless you in the name of Jesus. Tonight, we want to begin another new series called The Bait of Satan. The Bait of Satan. The Bait of Satan. And we want to look at Luke chapter 17, verse 1. If you have your Bible, when open to the book of Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. Is it open?
Luke chapter 17.
Yes, Pastor, read for us.
Verse 1.
Jesus said to his disciples,
things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come.
Again, please. Let's take it again.
Jesus said to his disciples.
Thank you, sir.
Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is one of the enemy's most deadly and deceptive traps. It imprisons countless Christians and destroys a lot of relationships and widens the existing breaches between us. And I want to call it, it's a trap of offense. Hallelujah. A trap of offense. And David lamented and said that, for it is not an enemy who approaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide. From him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and acquaintance. We took secret counsel together and walked to the house of God in throne. And it's very worrying that sometimes that which confront us in life mostly is seen around people that are very, very close to us. And many times, as David was saying, they are those people who we sit and sing along. It is very, very destructive to the soul. And perhaps it is very harsh when you are hit by a situation like that. And sometimes in delivering a teaching like this, people might look at the circles of their life and will be considering. And sometimes we might have experienced some of these things in the past before. We spend holidays and attend social functions and share the same office together. There are people that are close in our circle. When we travel together. When we eat together, we sing together. We are in the same office together, or perhaps it is closer than it is. And we grow up and we are confined in it. We sleep next to them. The closer the relationship, the more severe the offense is. It's true. Because when you are very close to the person, and the person offends you, or you offend the person, it is much, much more severe. Now you find that the greatest hatred among people is the one that we are very close to. Am I teaching here? You know, selfishness reigns in our society. And men and women today look at themselves, and sometimes they neglect the head of those that are around them. And sometimes we do not pay particular attention when people that are around us are actually hurting. And this should not surprise when it happens. Praise the Lord. I have been hit before some years ago. You know, when it hit me so hard because I didn't really expect it, the person that came from. But then I came to the position to realize that that is what scripture says. Jesus did not promise that we will not be offended. We will be offended. Praise the Lord. Now we believe that we are the only ones who have been wrong, but we are not the only ones who have been wrong. There are others that have been wrong before. And this response leaves us to be very vulnerable to the root of bitterness. And not only leaving us vulnerable to the root of bitterness, but it put us in a place where we fall in the bait of Satan. Praise the Lord. Therefore, as believers, we need to prepare. The reason why we call it the believer service, because this is a matured meeting. Hallelujah. It's something to help us to grow. So as believers, we must prepare, and we need to arm ourselves. Somebody say, arm ourselves. So we need to prepare and we need to arm ourselves for offenses that will come to our life, because our response determines our future. Our response will determine what? Our future. Praise the Lord. There is something called the deceptive trap. The deceptive trap. Let's look at Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Yes, Pastor, help us.
Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples. Things that cause people to stumble.
Look, what version is that? Give him media that version. What version is it?
NIV.
Okay. Which of your NIV is this? Anyway, read it.
Things that cause people to sin.
No, read yours. Read yours.
Things that cause people to stumble
are bound to come.
But woe to anyone through whom they come.
Hallelujah. The Greek word for offend comes from the word skandalon. And this word originally referred to the part of the trap which the bait was attached. Listen, it's part of the trap which the bait was what? Attached. So the word signifying laying a trap for in someone's way. It says that, Pastor Ray, he said, but what? But woe to the person through whom
they come.
Hallelujah. So in the New Testament, it's often described as an entrapment used by the enemy. So offense is a tool the devil uses to bring people into captivity. Sometimes you can be offended. It can be a wound in you for the rest of your life. It happens to a brother, sister, uncle, auntie, mother, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, and all that. Praise the Lord. But Paul instructed Timothy. He instructed Timothy. And he said some 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24 to 26. Pastor, help us. Give us the New King James Version if you have it. The New King James Version. Media, if you have it.
2 Timothy
chapter 2 verse 24 to 26.
2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 24 to 26. And I read from the New King James Version. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those
who are
in opposition.
Good.
us will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Having been taken captive by him to do his will. It says what? Escape what? The snare of the devil. My teaching again is the bait of Satan. The bait of Satan. So he says that and escape the snare of the devil, that they may come to their senses and escape what? The snare of the devil. Now, those who are in quarrel or opposition, they fall in the trap and held by what? The devil. Praise the Lord. Open. You fall what? As a prisoner to the what? To the bidding of the devil. Because it says that the last part, it says what? Having what? It says having what?
Having been taken captive by him to do his will.
To do what? His will. So it means that as a believer, you can do the will of the devil if you fall in the bait of Satan by engulfing yourself in a place of offense, or in a place of what? Quarreling. Because quarreling will lead to what? Hatred. And offense is the bedrock of what? Of quarreling. You say, well, we may know that. We may know. It says that I won't turn a trap. We may know. My trap now is on to a trap. Now you won't trap. You're born for trap. It's the bit of the of Satan. Praise the Lord. So like the prodigal son, you know, unless you come to your true condition and you know that, no, I need what? To repent. And most of the time, people do not realize that they are spewing out bitter waters rather than pure. Look at James chapter 3 verse 11. Quickly, please. James chapter 3 verse 11.
James chapter 3 verse 11.
Yes, sir.
I'm reading from the New King James Version.
Yes, please.
Does a spring send forth fresh water? And let me come again. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh.
Hallelujah. There is no way a pure water will produce bitter water. No. Pure water produce pure water. Bitter water produce what?
Bitter water.
Am I coming? So when a person is deceived, he believes he is right, even if he is not. If a person is deceived by the enemy, he believes that he is right, even if what he is not. So no matter what the scenario is, we can divide all offended people into two major categories. Number one, those who have been treated unjustly. Those who have been treated what? Unjustly. And number two, those who believe they have been treated what? Unjustly. So it is either I believe I've been treated unjustly, or indeed I have been treated unjustly. Am I communicating here? So people in the second category, who believe that they have been treated unjustly, believe with all their heart that they have been wrong. No matter what you tell them, they say, no. I believe that I have been wrong. Praise the Lord. So often, their conclusions are drawn from inaccurate information. Those that believe that they have been, often their conclusions come out from inaccurate what? Information. And sometimes after explaining, they are like, but by the time you realize, you have destroyed a lot of relationships. And those, now you find that now you have to go back to your sister, you have to go back to your brother, and now say, you know what, forgive me. Because after putting the pieces together, I realize that no, I have been wrong. Am I communicating here? So on their information, sometimes they feel, or they kind of have that feeling that their information is accurate. but their conclusion is distorted. Those that believe that they have been wrong, there are times where their information is accurate, but their conclusion is what is distorted. But either way, they are hurt and their understanding is darkened. And sometimes they judge by assumption, they judge by appearance, and they judge by hearsay. Praise the Lord. So it's very important that we look, and these are the deceptive trap. I believe I have been wrong, or I have been wrong. And you look at all these things and you realize that sometimes their judgment is wrong. They judge by appearance, by assumption, and by hearsay. We have been in this house before where hearsay have destroyed relationship. And they harbor offenses they cannot receive from anybody, including their pastor. Am I communicating here? Praise the Lord. But one way the enemy keeps a person in an offended state is to keep the offense hidden. Praise the Lord. And I want to speak a little bit here about the true heart condition. The true heart condition. There are many times where Satan will keep people in a state where they are offended, and he will keep them because he will bedrock the offense and make it hidden. You see, the most demonic of it all is when I offend you and I hide the offense. I laugh at you, but within me it is over 2,000 years of old. Offense need full about your own white. So that is when people release, begin to, when something happen and they begin to speak, you wonder what, where it's coming from, where did it happen? And if you are not careful, you might commit suicide, because you are like, but I thought we were cool, I thought everything was fine, but all of a sudden, bang. So what the enemy does is that he will make sure that you hide the offense. You will never bring it out. The offense will be hidden. And the reason why the offense will be hidden is that it will be clogged with pride. Because it's only pride that will not let you be able to speak about it. After all, what? You know? What's up? And after all, what? No, I'm not going to do that. Praise the Lord. So pride will, please write it down. Pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. Pride will keep you from admitting what? Your true condition. Pride keeps you from dealing with what? The truth. And not only that, but it distorts your vision. Pride. You never change when you think that everything is fine. You will never change when you think that everything is fine. People will say and say, but still, you feel that everything is fine. It's pride. You see, pride hardens your heart. Pride. It hardens what? Your heart. And not only hardens your heart, man of God. Pride, it dims our understanding. It dims your understanding. It dims my understanding. And apart from that, it keeps you from the change of heart. Please read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. It keeps you from the change of heart. And you know, the truth is that as far as it keeps you from the change of heart, you will never be set free. You will never be set free. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. Again.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24 to 26.
Yeah.
And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone.
Yeah, let's take from the New King James Version. Okay.
Okay. And I read.
Yes, Lord.
And a servant of the Lord.
And a servant. Somebody say, and a servant of the Lord.
And a servant of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
must not quarrel,
but be gentle to all,
able to teach, patient,
yes,
in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth.
So that is it. If you don't repent, you never know what the truth. Am I teaching here? If you don't repent, you never know the truth. You see, some of the reasons why we do not make amends is because of pride. If we don't lower our pride and humble ourselves, you know, let it go. Fresh start. Let it go. We will never know what the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So pride causes you to view. Okay, let me put it this way. Pride will cause you to view yourself that you are the victim. That you are what? The victim. And that is what pride does. It makes you feel that you are the victim. And then your attitude becomes, I was mistreated, I was misjudged, therefore I am justified in my behavior. Pride. Somebody say pride. It's because you believe that you are innocent and you are falsely what? Accused. And as a result of that, you hold back what? Forgiveness. And though your true heart condition is hidden from you, and your true heart condition is for you to accept and repent for God to heal your heart, you'll never do that. And it is hidden from what? From God. And that is where the enemy takes your heart and do it as he pleases. Some of your enemy is just hitting your heart like, you know, like football, like ball, like that. I don't know about whether you experienced this before, that you've been offended and your heart has been hurt. Like sometimes you feel like it's trying to stop to beat. Yeah. And now you are praying, God, please, I don't want to die. Heal my heart. I don't want to die. Praise the Lord. Just because you were mistreated, you do not have the permission hold on to what? An offense. Am I communicating here? Two wrongs, they say that two wrongs do not what? Make a right. Two wrongs do not make a right. Praise the Lord. I'm closing. But in all of these things, what is the cure? In all of these things, somebody say, what is the cure? I don't know, but maybe if you are here, you've never been offended before, you are a liar. In fact, capital letters, L-I-A-R. You are a big liar. In fact, not a big liar. David, blood in the emotion. The biggest liar. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Revelation. Is he? Let's read it. Let's look at the cure. How can we cure ourselves? Let's look at the cure. Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 20.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 14
to 20. 20. Yes, please.
And I'm reading for the New King James Version.
That's fine.
And to the angel of the church of the
Laodiceans. Yes.
These things say the Amen.
I love the way you are taking your time to read. God bless you, sir. God bless you.
These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched,
miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Amen.
Amen. Someone say pride.
Pride.
Pride will always cause you to see yourself as a victim. Praise the Lord. And anytime, I will repeat it, anytime that you see yourself, I was mistreated and misjudged, therefore I'm justified in my behavior. Because you believe you are innocent and falsely accused. And then you feel you have the license to hold back to forgiveness. Though your true heart condition is hidden from you. Your true heart condition is hidden from you. It is not hidden from God, though. It's hidden from you yourself. And just because you were mistreated, you do not have permission to hold on to an offense. Never. You don't have permission to hold on to an offense. I've said again, two wrongs do not what make what a right. But in the book of Revelation, as our pastor read, Jesus addresses the church of Laodicea by first telling them how they saw themselves. Praise the Lord. Read a 14 for us. Read a 15, please. He addressed them first by how they saw them. How did they see themselves? Read how they see themselves, Pastor.
Verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot.
Next verse.
16. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Next verse.
Because you say, I am rich.
Hold on. Because you say, I am what?
I am rich.
I am what?
Rich.
They saw themselves as what? As rich, not only rich by what?
Have become wealthy.
Can you imagine? You are not just rich, but you are wealthy as well. They saw themselves as rich and wealthy. And what? Having what?
Need of nothing.
They having need of what? Of nothing. Then by exposing their true condition, they were what? Read. By exposing their true condition. For them, that's how they saw themselves. They saw themselves as rich. They saw themselves as worthy, and yet but this was their true condition. Pastor, what was their true condition?
And do not know.
And do, but it says that that's how you see yourself, but you do not know
that you are wretched.
You are wretched. Your country saying you are wretched. What pasa pasa pasa? What titia pasa? A pasa pasa pasa. You are wretched.
Miserable.
Miserable.
Poor.
You are not only wretched, but you are miserable. You are poor.
Blind. And naked.
And naked. You see, they had mistaken their financial strength as spiritual strength. But it was wrong. Praise the Lord. Pride had hidden their true condition. We are wealthy, we are rich, and we don't need anything. So pride had hidden what their true what? Heartward condition. And Jesus told the Laodiceans in this chapter and verse how to get out of deception, because they were deceived. And God tells them that for you to come out of deception, come and buy from me what? Gold. To buy God's gold, you need to see your true heartward condition. Somebody say true heart condition. Now, this was Jesus' first instruction from breaking free from deception. was to buy from him gold. A gold, not only just gold, but a gold that is what? Refined. Not any kind of gold that is refined, but a gold refined in what? Fire. Read Revelation 3:18 for me. 18.
I counsel you to buy. To buy from me. Gold refined in the fire.
Oh my God. Gold refined what? In the fire. Now it is when gold is mixed with other metals like copper, iron, nickel, and so on. Then it becomes hard. And not only become hard, but it's less what? Corrosive. Praise the Lord. Now this mixture is called an alloy. And the higher the percentage of foreign metals, the harder the gold what becomes. Are you listening to me? Now immediately we see the parallel here. A pure heart is like what? A pure gold. A pure heart is what? Like what? A pure gold. It is soft, it is tender, and it is pliable. Praise the Lord. So the Lord Jesus was addressing the condition of the heart. Buy from me what? Pure gold. Praise the Lord. Pastor, go to Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13.
Hebrews chapter 3 verse
13. Yeah, 1-3.
And I read. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
So it states that the heart are hardened through what? Deceitfulness of what? Of sin. So if we don't deal with an offense, it will produce more fruit of sin. You know how it produces more fruit of sin? Now it won't just be the person, it will be another person. Praise the Lord. The offense will bear more what? More fruit. Praise the Lord. So if I have an issue with you, then I don't want you to be friend with this person. Even if he buys something, I want to hold the thing, throw it away. Praise the Lord. So the offense now has what? A lot of fruit. And some of the fruit sometimes will even lead to fighting and other things. Now you have that in the body of Christ, where somebody harbors offense and it produces fruit of what? Not fruit of goodness, so fruit of what? Sin. And some of the fruit of sin, bitterness, anger. You know there is a difference between bitterness and anger. Bitterness, anger, and what? Resentment. These are some of what? The fruit of sin. Now the other substance hardens our heart, just like alloy hardens what? The gold. And this reduces or removes tenderness and creates what? A lot of what? A loss of sensitivity. Now the truth is that we are hindered in our ability to hear God's voice anytime there is an offense. When God even speaks, as audible as he spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, you will still not hear. Somebody say offense. Say it's a bait of Satan. And in fact, our accuracy to see is then darkened. We don't see well. When we have to see well because of offense, we don't see well. When truly this is an opportunity for us, truly this is an elevation for us because of offense, we will never see it. Can you imagine that it is through you that God will use to what? To elevate you to the next level. But because of offense, la lie. Even as I see that this is the pathway to my success, because of offense, no, I will sit where I have to sit. Praise the Lord. So our accuracy to see is darkened, and this is the perfect setting for deception. And the enemy is always waiting for that opportunity to bait the believer because of what? What we call offense. Praise the Lord. Now, the first step in refining gold is grinding it into what? Powder. and mixing it with substance called flux. Then the mixture is placed in a furnace and melted by intense what heat. We've seen it on TV. The alloy and impurities are drawn to the flux and it rises to the surface. Now the gold, which is heavier, remains at the bottom. The impurities or dross or whatever they call it, such as the copper, the iron, the zinc, and the combined with the flux, then is removed, yielding toward the pure metal. Now look at what God says in Isaiah chapter 48 verse 10. Look at what God says. He says something very important here. Pastor, help us. He says that what? Someone say, behold. Say, behold.
Behold.
Behold. Uh-huh.
Isaiah chapter 48.
Verse 10. New King James Version. Uh-huh.
Behold.
Behold.
I have refined you.
No, let's read together. Let's join Pastor Okane Akedinechi. Uh-huh.
Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction.
In the furnace of what? Affliction. And again, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you feel like you have been grieved in various trials of your life, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 to 7. Somebody say, I want to be tested by fire. You see, if Jesus is saying that, come buy from me what? Pure gold. Then he wants what? Your true heart condition to be refined. Your heart would have to be what? Refined. Some of you, your heart, the spiritually, the holes that I did, the holes, God have to block the holes. Praise the Lord. Your heart will have to be what? Refined. Because anything that passes through is very offensive. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 to 7.
1 Peter 1 6 to 7. In this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while. If need be. You have been grieved by what?
Various trials. Verse 7.
That the genuineness
of your faith
be much more precious.
He said the genuineness of what?
Of your faith.
Of your faith.
Be much more precious than gold.
Than gold.
That perishes. Though it is tested by fire. May be found to praise. Honor and glory. In the revelation of Jesus Christ.
You see, gold refines with what? Sorry, God refines us through what? Afflictions. God refines with affliction. God refines with trials. God refines with what? You want to die. God refines with affliction. God refines with trials. God refines with what? Tribulation. The heat will separate what? The impurities, such as what? Unforgiveness. Like how gold will go through the fire and the impurities will be separated from the true metal. That is what God does. When he is refining you, all the impurities, such as number one, forgiveness. Say unforgiveness. Sorry, say unforgiveness. They are impurities. Say bitterness. Say bitterness. So whilst I am being refined, God is extracting the bitterness from my true heart what condition that has to what? Honor, praise, and glorify the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, listen, it will be our prayer that, Lord, refine me as pure as what? Gold. Because whilst he's refining me, bitterness is getting away, anger is getting away, envy is getting away, and so forth and so on. And now we are formed in the very nature of God. So when you have a true believer, you are in the believer service. When you have a true believer who has gone to the true refinement of God, he's not shaken by offense because he sees them as trials. He sees them as tribulation. I see and no see. Praise the Lord. Sin easily hides where there is no heat of trials. Sin. They easily hide where there is no heat of trials and affliction. That is where they hide. Like, you know, on Sunday when we came from church, a snake entered our compound. In our household, everybody was terrified. There is a lady sitting just in front of you. She was so terrified. She is called Abigail Twini. A leaf fell and she thought it was, and she panicked. Praise the Lord. How many of you are afraid of snake? That day, the man of God himself was worried. Let me confess. You see, here we are real people. Any real people here, wave your hand. Let me see. Let me confess. So when I sat in my car in the morning and I was driving, all of a sudden I felt like something was moving at my mouth. I started praying the Holy Ghost. I said, has this serpent entered my car? Hallelujah. So in times of prosperity and success, even a wicked man will seem to be kind and generous. And under the heat of trials, the impurities of our heart, like bitterness and envy and everything, it comes out. You see, that is why you have to pray this prayer. Lord, let me finish my trials. Let me go through that. You see, that trial that you hit halfway in between. You have a lot ahead of you. Paul said, I have fought what? I have finished what? Praise the Lord. If there is a trial you are going, it's a good prayer. Lord, help me. Let me finish. Some of you can see that this one, it's a trial. This one there. Yeah. You know, that is where we say it in the local power. We dear besaw me here. We dear besaw me here. It's a trial. Praise the Lord. But after coming out of the trial and the tribulation, the impurities of bitterness and all those offenses you've kept in your heart since the day you were born, all those offenses, you believe and ask God that God, you don't want to be like the Laodicean church. They felt like they were okay, they were fine, they were wealthy, they were rich, they needed nothing. That God, purify me and let me have what? A true heart. Lord, make a spiritual surgical operation on my heart. Because I will be teaching further on in the coming weeks that true offenses, they never allow you to receive from God. Do you know the Bible says that Jesus said that before you pray, if you have a grudge with your brother, go and make amends before you come and pray. So it means that when you don't make amends and you pray, all the 7 days fasting and prayer, there will not be any answer. Praise the Lord. Do not keep what the offense. It doesn't say if the person is in US, go and look for ticket until you go to the person and no. But your true heart condition has to let the offense what go. Sometimes we have been too offended that when we hear the person's name, we panic. And guess not only panic out of fear, but panic out of anger. And the ripple effect of that is the example of Cain and Abel. That there are times where after we have committed the offense, we are like, my ebony. You see, at that time, no. You have already what been in the bait of Satan. We now the other. But then what should happen has what already happened. And now you have to go back and what? Repent. But we have a loving Jesus who, when you sin 200 times, he will forgive you 200 times. Praise the Lord. I want you to see your true condition tonight. Jesus said that our ability to see correctly is another key to be freed from what? Deception. And often when we are offended, we see ourselves as victims and blame those who we have hurt. And we justify our bitterness and our unforgiveness, our anger, our envy and resentment as they surface. And they will always surface as a matter of time. And sometimes we even resent those who remind us of others who we have hurt. Near the buffoon, a comuso, or no, Babe Buono. And now it affects everybody that is what around us. For this reason, Jesus told the church of Laodicea. What did he tell them? Verse 18. Read verse 18. He counseled them and he said something. Revelation chapter 3 verse 18. Are you there?
Yes, Revelation 3 verse 18.
Uh-huh. What did he say?
And I read.
Uh-huh.
I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire.
Am I teaching? Are you following? Uh-huh.
That you may be rich.
That you may be rich. Uh-huh.
And white garments.
True.
That you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness,
uh-huh,
may not be revealed.
That's right.
And anoint your eyes.
And that's what I'm looking for. It says what? And what?
Anoint your eyes.
Anoint your eyes.
With eyes.
With eye salve. Uh-huh.
Eye salve.
That
you may see.
That you may see. Somebody say, Lord, anoint my eyes with eye salve. You know what he's saying there? He says, see what? He says, see what? See your what? True what? Condition. Because when your eyes is anointed, it what? It opens. What does anointing do? It breaks what? The yoke. So when your eyes is anointed, what? Now you see everything. Now it's like everything is open for you. Like, what mistake have I done? You see, there are times where we have offense with people that we do not know well. And when now we get to know them well, like, what was actually wrong with me? God, what was wrong with me? I never knew that this person was a very sweet person. But people might have their flaws. Hallelujah. People might have, and that's why Jesus is saying that you are not in this world to know that you are the only person who has been offended. Even Jesus himself, he was what? Offended. Am I communicating here? The only way we can be zealous and repent as Jesus commanded, the only way is that for us to repent and stop blaming people, blaming other people of what we have done. I know people that have blamed it even unto their generation and the sins of their grandparent. Fache me why? Fache me. Na me na na we bufu pa. Na ebina ati atomisi. Fache me. Me yanko bi kwa kachire mi ni bufu ya man kaka ya bono. Iti ebina eye to me ba man to be. Iti emi se man to we mune ebi ba ebi ababe ebi ababe kanwi. Iti mi sirewa fache me. That we will blame other people. And when we blame others and defend our own position, Jesus is saying that you are blind. You are blind. You are blind. You cannot what? You can't see. Praise the Lord. So we struggle to remove the speck out of our brother's eyes while there is what? A lock in what? In our eyes. It is the revolution of truth that will always bring us freedom as believers. And I close with this, that when the Spirit of God shows us our sin, he always, and I want to be, he always does it in such a way that it seems separate what from us, and then he brings us to a place of what, of conviction and not condemnation. He brings us to a place of what, conviction and not. The Lord will never, and I'll say this on authority on the word of God, he will never condemn you, but he will convict you that the offense is a bait of Satan and is going to keep you blinded, and you will not see what is ahead of you. Please bow down your head and begin to pray.
This has been an amazing life-transforming message from Reverend Sidney Alumensa. Do not forget to share with friends, families, and loved ones. God bless you and Shalom.